The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with a nightmare for Tampa. Tom, did Brady just lose the most important part of his offense? We'll start there. Plus, let's make a deal already. Lamar Jackson wants a new contract, but is there a deadline to get it done? The former MVP adding urgency to the negotiations, and the homework clause that has Kyler Murray fired up. It's ripped up, but is the damage done? Have the cards already been played in Arizona? Good morning, everybody. Hannah Storm in for Mike Greenberg. Thankfully, Jeff Darlington is here at Seaport holding down the fort with me this morning. But we have company. We have Damian Woody. We have Mike Tannenbaum to talk about all things football. But we are going to begin this morning with a wake-up call. Here comes the judge. Walk-off drama in New York. Here's Michael Kay with the call.
High fly ball, left center, Taylor on the run, on the track, at the wall, he's done it again. See ya, a walk-off home run by Aaron Judge, and the Yankees win 1-0.
It's a 431-foot blast, Aaron Judge's third walk-off home run of the season, tying the great Mickey Mantle for the Yankees' single-season record. 1-0 is the final. Judge's major league leading 39 home runs, tied for the third most before August in Yankees history. And get this, he's now on pace to hit 63 home runs this season, which would break Roger Maris's franchise record of 61, set back in 61. And yes, he is going to be a free agent after this season. Now, to football and some bad news in Tom Brady's quest for an eighth Super Bowl ring. His Pro Bowl center, Ryan Jensen, carted off the practice field yesterday with a knee injury, one source telling Adam Schefter that it is, quote, not looking good. Jensen screaming loudly when he was injured, threw off his helmet when being attended to by trainers. And now, the Bucs' interior offensive line with some serious questions. Even before Jensen's injury, they were going to have to replace the production of Pro Bowl guard Ali Marpet. He unexpectedly retired this offseason. And then, of course, guard Alex Kappa signed a four-year deal with the Bengals. He is gone as well. As I said, Jeff, Mike T, and a former center for Tom Brady precipitously is on with us this morning. Damian Woody weighing in. So, D. Wood, I have to start with you. I mean, Brady's coming back to win a title. How huge of a setback is this?
Yeah, Hannah, this is potentially huge news. I mean, you just talked about how the whole interior from last year's offensive line is not even there. And for a guy like Tom Brady, who needs that space in the interior, the way you affect a quarterback like Tom Brady is pressure up the middle. So now you're potentially talking about three key pieces from last year's team in the interior being gone. That's going to be a huge setback for Tom Brady and his Tampa Bay Bucs team.
Wait, we know he loves a clean pocket. D. Wood, you know that better than anybody else. How much does he depend on his center?
Oh, he depends on his center a lot. I mean, obviously, Tom Brady is a GOAT, but you still have that quarterback-center exchange. Obviously, you talk about identifying the Mike linebacker and all those type of things. And just overall, just providing that protection up the middle. Again, Tom Brady, no one's going to mistake Tom Brady for Michael Vick, you know, in the pocket. So just having a clean pocket back there for him to operate is huge. And now you're talking about potentially all three pieces from last year's team in the interior not being available in 2022. That's a huge storyline for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Man, and Jeff, you spent time with him. You talked to him when he was deciding to come back. I mean, this has been an issue.
Well, I just remember, too, earlier this offseason when Ali Marpet retired, their star guard, it was a scenario Tom had not yet returned. but he was evaluating essentially, you know, his potential return, and he's looking at Ali Marpet's retirement. He knew they could find other guards along the way, but now when you're talking about three guys potentially gone, that is a huge blow to an interior line that was probably the biggest question mark of this Bucks team going into the season.
Yeah, so Mike T, you've been in the front office. How much sleep did Jason Light lose last night after this injury?
Yeah, he didn't get any sleep, and unfortunately, D Wood and I know about offensive linemen getting hurt. I'll just leave it at that. With that said, if there's any silver lining in this, it's still late July, and you could go out and find offensive linemen. Maybe it's Cody Whitehair from a rebuilding Chicago Bears in a trade. Maybe it's J.C. Treader. Now, one of the things that Jason Light and that talented front office of the Bucks did, they did go out and get Shaq Mason. They have two really good offensive tackles. I totally agree with D. Wood. Tom Brady at 45 needs a firm pocket, so they do need to address it, but they have another 5 weeks to get it done.
He's always needed a clean pocket at any age, really. And again, he's going to be 45 on Wednesday. This is just the latest hole, by the way, that the Bucks are filling. This seems to be a theme this offseason.
Right, Hannah. I think that's what's most disconcerting. You hear Mike talk about the idea of having to, once again, put a Band-Aid on a position and go find someone like that. They already had to do that most recently with Julio Jones as they get Chris Godwin back from his knee injury late in the season. They brought in Kyle Rudolph in the wake of Gronk retiring, and we're not even a day into training camp. So it does feel like they're already having to put Band-Aids on. That being said, the one thing I'll give Jason Light a ton of credit for is that he understands the window that they're in, and he will do whatever it takes to make sure he at least puts them in a position to succeed, even in the wake of this injury.
Okay, here's the thing. I mean, to be clear, we don't know what this injury is. We don't know how long Jensen will be out. But nonetheless, what we're hearing so far isn't good. So, Woody, if they go out and look for somebody at that center position, what kind of player should they be targeting?
Well, listen, I mean, you're going to have someone, maybe someone with, you know, durability that can withstand the heat up front. There's just, Hannah, just to be frank here, there's just not many guys that's going to be walking the streets that's going to be very viable options right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Offensive linemen, as Mike T. know, we're a commodity. We're pressure. Everyone wants good offensive linemen. So you're gonna have to come up. You're gonna have to come up with something to go get a good viable option, veteran option to plug in. If that's the case, if Ryan Jensen is gonna miss significant time.
Okay, just in case nobody's picked this up, there is a little bit of history here between Mike T and D. Mike T, final word here.
Hannah, do you see how hard my job is? When D. Wood's on, we hear how valuable offensive linemen are. When Bart Scott's on, you have to have linebackers. It's a really hard job, as you can see.
That's why you're a front office guy, Mike T. All right, speaking of, let's go to Baltimore, where Lamar Jackson added some urgency to his contract situation. Jackson, who's in the final year of his rookie deal, is negotiating an extension with the Ravens. He was asked by reporters yesterday at camp if he thinks a deal will happen, and this is what Lamar had to say.
I think so. We'll have to see.
You're saying you think so before the season starts? Or?
It says it's going to be a cutoff, so hopefully.
All right, there's going to be a cutoff soon, hopefully. Not sure what that means. What's the latest
in the negotiations? I can tell you what it means, Hannah. I was speaking with someone in Baltimore who made it very clear that this is going to come to a head here very soon. That the way they understand it is that Lamar Jackson will either take the deal that's essentially on the table, maybe with some slight alterations, but pretty much the framework of the deal that's on the table, or he'll say, I'm riding it out, and I'm going to wait till next offseason to go for more money. A fascinating development, but I should be very clear here, Hannah. Lamar Jackson is comfortable at this point with playing this season without a contract extension.
Wow, and if he's comfortable with that, Mike T, what does that mean from a front office standpoint?
You need to reward Lamar Jackson for all the right reasons. He's a great young player, league MVP, impeccable character, and if I'm him, I am paying him a fully guaranteed $230 million contract, and if I was in Lamar's camp, I can't take a nickel less than that. Because that is what Deshaun Watson got. And from a Ravens standpoint, Hannah, this is really important. Lamar's done everything right. He's come into camp. He's not holding in. He's practicing. He's fully participating. You want to reward that because you want to send a message to the rest of the organization that do what Lamar does on and off the field, and we want to reward you for that.
Okay, D Wood, so you just heard Mike say that Lamar's doing everything right. Do you think he is? Do you think he should even be practicing at all without a deal?
And I've been saying that all offseason. I wouldn't even touch a blade of grass without a contract. Because, like Mike T said, he's done everything right. He's been a league MVP. He's accomplished a ton of things with the Baltimore Ravens. And just his playing style alone, I don't know if I would even want to even risk that to go out there on the football field. But Mike T is correct. He's done it right, and the Ravens organization should reward him now. Why even have this type of drama, continue to fester and move forward as you try to prepare for week one, get this contract situation behind you so you can just focus on what's really important, that's football.
I mean, Jeff, you've covered a lot of negotiations. How unusual is this one?
Hannah, it is the most unusual contract negotiation I've ever covered in 20 years covering the league. And I say that not only because he's represented by an unorthodox team of representatives, including his mother, but also the fact that this is a player who is essentially saying, I'm not holding out, I'm not holding in, I'm going to go practice, I got no problem with the team, and if you don't pay me, I'll go get paid next year. He's got all the confidence in the world, and it actually gives him a sense of leverage over the negotiations because of that confidence that I it's very rare in the NFL to see something like this.
Right. I mean, Mike T, if he actually goes into the season without an extension in the final year of his rookie deal, what does that mean for the Ravens?
Yeah, it puts enormous pressure on the whole organization. Just right. It's actually destabilizing because he's the most important person in the entire organization. And when your franchise quarterback is on the precipice of free agency, it impacts everybody. Coaches' contracts, the front office. And then all of a sudden, every day, Steve Bisciotti, Eric DeCosta, their GM, John Harbaugh, they're talking, hey, did he text one of us today? What does that mean? It could be very destabilizing. That's why you want to get this deal done ASAP if you're the Ravens, and again, reward them for all the right reasons.
I mean, it's crazy, D Wood, because there's no animosity. We haven't seen him scrubbing his social media. He's there, he's at practice. If you're another player on that team and you're looking at what's happening, what are you thinking right now?
Well, I mean, as a player, I'm thrilled because this speaks to the character of Lamar Jackson. He's not holding in. He's not holding out or anything like that. He's just out there practicing like all the other teammates out there. So if I'm a player, I'm ecstatic that my guy, even without a contract that he so richly deserves, is in training camp with us practicing, with the rest of the team. So, again, as a player, I'm thrilled.
By the way, isn't it enough that we've had to talk about holding out? Now we have to talk about holding in. Guys,
in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up, this contract, of course, it wasn't the only issue that Lamar Jackson addressed yesterday. Wait till you hear what he had to say about those anonymous critics. Put your name on it already, folks, if you're going to say stuff like this. And Kyler Murray's fiery press conference gets a response from the Cardinals. But how much damage did that homework clause already cause?
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Lexus. Real life, real luxury. The Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event for a limited time. And our next stop is Arizona, where last night the Cardinals ripped up the independent study addendum in Kyler Murray's contract after receiving significant backlash. The Cardinals made that decision hours after Murray made an unscheduled appearance in the media room to defend himself. Take a listen.
To think that I can accomplish everything that I've accomplished in my career and not be a student of the game and not have that passion and not take this serious is almost disrespectful, and it's almost a joke. You know, I'm honestly flattered that y'all think that at my size I can go out there and not prepare for the game and not take it serious. This game's too hard to play the position that I play in this league. It's too hard.
And a few hours after Murray spoke, the Cardinals then released this statement, and I quote, "After seeing the distraction it created, we removed the addendum from the contract. It was clearly perceived in ways that were never intended. Our confidence in Kyler Murray is as high as it's ever been, and nothing demonstrates our belief in his ability to lead this team more than the commitment reflected in the contract," close quote. But far from closing the book on this story, look at D. Woody shaking his head. Your thoughts, my friend.
I have so many. First of all, the fact that you have this impromptu press conference and the Arizona Cardinals' subsequent move of deleting that addendum was just all a colossal mistake by both parties in the situation. Because even with the clause in the contract, they could have let this whole thing drift into the training camp night if they had just went about their business. But they rehashed this whole thing, and now it's a story for us to talk about, you know, for a good amount of time. That's number one. Number two, Kyler, you signed the contract. You signed it. Like, your representative and yourself, you agreed to it. So, like, it's hard for me to talk about the Arizona Cardinals. They put it in the contract, but you ultimately signed the contract. It's like an agent. It's like as an athlete, how we're ultimately responsible for things we put in our body. Like, there's no argument about that. And ultimately, Kyler Murray, you are responsible for this because you signed the contract. And it just speaks volumes that they would even put this in the contract. It tells everyone, as far as what the organization thinks about your preparation, your leadership, and how you go about your business within that Arizona Cardinals facility. That's what I think about this whole scenario.
And then, Mike T, what about the reaction of the front office? Mm-hmm. He has this unscheduled presser defending himself. Then they come back and take it out of the contract.
That's the part that's surprising, which is everybody had to anticipate there would be massive blowback, massive discussions, because this is historic. I've looked at NFL contracts for close to 30 years now. I've never seen anything close to it. if you have concerns about his study habits, there's ways to address it that aren't in the contract. One of the more fundamental ways, Hannah, is to wait to do an extension. He's been in the league for only 3 years. They could have said, hey, we love what you're doing in some respects, but you got to get better in terms of your study habits. We'll readdress it in October, November, after the season. So that'd been one thing. And I agree with D. Wood from this standpoint, Hannah. I'm shocked that they're shocked. The agent's role here is to say, hey, you're getting all this guarantee money, which you deserve, but let's be prepared. You're going to be under massive scrutiny. And if you're uncomfortable with that, we can't sign this addendum. So I think it's really been poorly executed, and hopefully both sides could learn from it.
How did nobody see this coming, seemingly,
that's
Jeff?
Exactly the question that the Arizona Cardinals need to answer in the wake of this to themselves. I had one general manager immediately after this went down. Immediately after, I was trying to scour the league to see, like, is this something that's normal? Maybe we're overreacting. This is standard language in some contracts. This GM said, no, would never have done it, nor would my owners want me to. It draws too much attention, and it's not worth the paper it's printed on with an arbitrator anyway. So that was like the instinct right out of the gates. And then when it comes to crisis management after that, when you're dealing with the problem and Kyler Murray comes out and blames the media, and it's not, who cares if he blames the media? It's not about that. It's more about, hey, let's have some awareness and how to handle moving forward. And then the organization takes it out. I think it's just one misstep after another. We're all trying to move on from this, including us. But it just keeps
it just keeps rearing its ugly head. I mean, it's the most bizarre story. And really, you can walk this back out of the contract. But Woody, isn't the damage already done in terms of perception of Kyler Murray?
Well, listen, I think a lot of people had perceptions about Kyler Murray as far as lack of leadership, things like that. But then when you add something like this to the fire, it just adds more fodder to it. So, you know, now that tells me, oh, so this guy doesn't prepare? He's not a professional? Because that's what ultimately this addendum tells me. You're not a professional. You don't go about your business in the right way. The organization has to literally add something in your contract to basically tell you, hey, man, you need to study. Like, what the hell? You're a quarterback and you're not studying? Like, come on, man. Like, we need 4 hours out of you in a week to study and get ready for your opponents. Like, that's a joke. And Kyler Murray is taking a blowback from it.
Right. I mean, and the owner, I mean, this was partially what the owner wanted.
Yeah,
right?
Certainly, the owner, Bidwell, was certainly in on this. I just keep coming back to since the beginning of it. We're talking about 4 hours. Do you know, I was told, just kind of digging around.
How much film study does an average quarterback, do you think, do?
I'm not going to give you an average quarterback. We're going to go straight to the top tier.
To Tom Brady, right?
I'm going to tell you how much Tom Brady studies a week, okay? I was told specifically that he studies more than 50 hours a week. More than 50 hours a week of film study. And that's not a knock on Kyler Murray. It's the mere fact that there would be a contractual addendum to get him to study for 4 hours a week. Tom Brady over 50. And I would argue that most franchise quarterbacks are studying closer to Tom Brady than they are 4 hours a week.
Man, and the first time he misses a read, the first time something happens, and I mean, it's all going to come back to the fact of, wow, did he study enough?
Yeah.
As he makes mistakes early in the season. Yeah, they set him up, didn't they? All right, coming up, has anybody dealt with more scrutiny than Lamar Jackson? Wait till you hear his response to the anonymous critics who continue to question his game. And birthday boy, Dak Prescott, he has golden plans for the Cowboys. Could he actually snap one of the biggest droughts in the NFL? We're talking about it straight ahead. Happy B-Day, Dak, number 29.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up with our NFL crew. Let's play a little game of more or less, starting with Mike T. More or less, 36 and a half TD passes for Tom Brady.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got to go less now after what happened. You know, we already talked about the uncertainty up front, and Tom Brady loves and needs a firm pocket. Now, look, they just got Julio Jones. We'll see what he has left. They have the great Mike Evans. Chris Godwin will be back at some point, and he's still Tom Brady, but it's just going to be a different offense. I'm going to go less than 36 and a half.
A lot of questions along that interior line and how clean those pockets are going to be for Tom Brady. Okay, Jeff, more or less than 32 and a half TD passes for Joe Burrow.
You know, I was going to go less just because it's such a high number for a young guy, but I got to go more.
You're switching up. Okay.
I am. The more that I think about it with Joe Burrow, I truly think, I mean, he had 34 last season. And honestly, if you look at a lot of his games, he had a few where he had 3 and 4 touchdowns, but there was still room for even more improvement. I'm going to say Joe Burrow continues to ascend and has more than even he did last season. So I'll say even more than 34 touchdowns.
Wishing him a speedy recovery from his appendectomy this week, by the way. And D-Wood, more or less than 23 and a half TD passes for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Hannah, I'm going to go more. We saw the injuries that the Baltimore Ravens sustained, particularly on the offensive side of the football. We're going to get a bunch of guys back. They, you know, obviously Mark Andrews and the company of tight ends that they have is going to be pretty lethal. Rashad Bateman, their first round wide receiver from last year, going to a second year. I think Lamar Jackson is going to do damage through the air this year.
Yeah, no one had to overcome more injuries, it seemed, last season, especially this time of year, than the Ravens. So speaking of Jackson, he addressed the criticism that he's received lately, most notably from yet another anonymous defensive coordinator. Aren't those guys fun? He told The Athletic, quote, if he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. And here was Jackson's response.
It's anonymous, so I really don't care. Like, he's anonymous for a reason, you know? It's all good. When you're trying to be great, you know, you're trying to work your tail off, it's going to be negativity. But, you know, they hated Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, so I don't really worry about it.
All right, Whitty, first of all, we haven't had you on the show to react to this anonymous criticism. So what did you think of that?
Hannah, I just hate these anonymous people that just come out and want to trash players. Put your damn name on it, okay? Because I know damn well any of these defensive coordinators, the week they play Lamar Jackson, they up at night. They scared. Why? Because Lamar Jackson is one of the scariest players that we have in the National Football League. His style of play is unique, unlike any other player in the National Football League. And for all these people out here, particularly these anonymous defensive coordinators, you know, talking, you know, trashing Lamar Jackson as far as the passing game is concerned, Lamar Jackson statistically is one of the better passers that we have in our league. So I just, again, Hannah, he's going to be battling this his whole career. I don't understand it. You're talking about a guy who's 25 years old. He's been a league MVP. He's one of the most exciting players that we have in our league. And these guys want to hide behind anonymous. Put your damn name out there and let us know what you're really talking about. Then we can really see what's up.
Yeah, I agree. And what did you think of the way he handled it, the way he responded yesterday?
Well, again, it just speaks to Lamar Jackson and you know, his character. Mike T talked about it, you know, earlier, you know, as far as the Baltimore Ravens are concerned. He's just a class guy. You know, he's not going to get sucked into all of this drama and this and that. He's just going to go out there and do what he has to do. And that's just be a phenomenal player on the field and a great person off the field. So, kudos to Lamar Jackson. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep representing. But I didn't expect anything less from Lamar Jackson.
I mean, Mike T, from a front office standpoint, the way that he is addressing not only the criticism, but that in conjunction with the way he's handling this contract negotiation, what does that tell you from a front office standpoint?
This is the textbook definition of a battlefield commander. When you talk to Coach Parcells and his commandments to be a great quarterback, it's about being a battlefield commander. And when things go wrong, it's your fault. And when things go great, you praise your teammates. And Lamar Jackson's just putting on a clinic on how to be a great franchise quarterback on the field and off the field in 2022. And if I'm the Ravens, I can't get this guy signed soon enough for all the reasons we've talked about. But he sets such a great example for everybody in that building and candidly for other quarterbacks around the league. I look at someone like Dak Prescott, who has a very similar elegance in Dallas. It really can solve a lot of problems and allow things not to permeate to the surface. So he's putting on a clinic on how to do things the right way.
I mean, Jeff, take us behind the scenes into what kind of guy he is. Because, you know, he's not like a quote-unquote media darling, and yet he says all of the right things.
He's so refreshing to be around, and I understand why teammates must just love him. His authenticity, his magnetism, his genuine nature. I've been in the locker room with him before after a game when someone handed him like the stat sheet. You know, it's like a kind of a normal thing. The PR guy come over, hand the quarterback the stat sheet. And I've seen the come over and he'll look at me like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I did great. And it's like, it's super like not cocky, like authentic. Like, this is so cool. I can't believe I did that. And I just think that really rubs off on people. And even with this contract deal, He's kind of represented by himself. It's not getting leaked out to the media by agents. Mm-hmm. It just feels authentic. And I think that is just very symbolic of who he is.
And D. Woody, how important is that? How critical is that to have your quarterback with that kind of nature in the locker room?
Well, I mean, it permeates to the rest of the team, right? You know, a lot of guys look up to the quarterback to provide that leadership. If you got a quarterback that has a calm demeanor when things are not going great, but he's not getting flushed, that helps out your teammates. So there's a reason why this Baltimore organization has been a pillar of stability, you know, for these years, especially with Lamar Jackson at quarterback.
I feel like his price just keeps going up and up and up. All right, our next stop is New York, where Giants running back Saquon Barkley is entering the final year of his rookie contract, having played only 15 games over the last two seasons. He spoke on Thursday about his mindset entering this critical year 5 in the NFL.
I just want to show the Giants that, you know, the guy that they drafted is still here. And I can still go out there and make the plays and help my team be successful. And that's the only thing I'm focused about is take care of myself, take care of my body, take care of my mental, and try and be the best teammate I can be.
Man, Saquon has just had trouble staying on the field. That's the story since his historic rookie season, missing a total of 21 games in the three seasons since. He's been slowed by both ankle and knee injuries during that time. And in our production meeting this morning, the great Jeff Darlington came up with our topic for this segment. And it
You're
is,
welcome.
And I present you, who has more pressure on them this season, Saquon Barkley or Daniel Jones? You get to answer first.
I feel like people were expecting something better there. look, I think that Saquon Barkley definitely has more pressure on him from a legacy standpoint. This is a player who the New York Giants fan base wants to love. They want to see him succeed in the way he did as a rookie. They want him to become the person that they all believe and root for him to be. I understand that Daniel Jones is the quarterback and would seemingly have more pressure, but I think that all Giants fans feel like they already know what Daniel Jones is.
They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. I mean, Mike T, if you're the front office, yeah, you got some decisions to make, right? Who's there more pressure on here?
Daniel Jones, it starts with the quarterback. He has to prove two things, Hannah. Number one, that he won't turn the ball over. And number two, can he answer the bell for 17 games? If he could do those two things, they may have a great, great quarterback. But until that, he's average and he has a lot to prove. In terms of Barkley, Hannah, I think he's going to have a great year. I work with Coach Daboll in New York. He loves getting the ball to running backs in the passing game. So I think Saquon's actually set up from a scheme standpoint to have a great year.
And he know this is my game? You can't disagree with me?
Yeah, no. It's just your game.
It's easy to disagree with you.
All right, Woody, you break the tie here. Who's there more pressure on, Saquon or Daniel Jones?
I mean, listen, from an organizational standpoint, it's Daniel Jones. I mean, listen, you know, you want the quarterback. You want to be able to solve that position, right? If you know, Brian Daboll can come in and fix Daniel Jones, then that can go a long way toward getting this New York Giants team heading in the right direction. But, you know, Hannah, I almost feel like I know what Daniel Jones is now. Like, I know who he is. Like, Saquon has so much talent. If he can stay healthy, that's been his biggest deal is being on the field. If Saquon Barkley is healthy, boy, man, like that. I think I would agree with Jeff in the fact that from a legacy standpoint, it would be huge for Saquon. It would be huge for Saquon Barkley.
Thanks, Woody. That's my guy.
All right, let me put it to you this way, guys. Just in a word, is he on your fantasy team, Saquon, this year? Yes or no?
I can't reveal that.
Yes or no? This is not a complicated question. Okay, you, Woody. Yes or no? Is he on your fantasy team, Saquon?
No. No.
No.
Well, okay. It depends where you're picking.
No.
I know. Mike T, what about you?
I don't have one, but if I did, helping out my friends and family, I would trade up for him.
Mike deals in reality.
I don't know about your question, Jeff. I think the jury's still out. Okay, guys, we'll be back talking more football. In the meantime, this reminder, UFC 277 comes to you tomorrow night from Dallas. Another stacked card with two title rematches. The main card begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. The prelims at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ABC, Deportes, and ESPN+. So to order the main card in English and Spanish, all you have to do is go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. And coming up here, the dynamic duo in Miami. Wait until you hear what Tyreek Hill had to say about his partnership with Jaylen Waddle. Is Cheetah talking too much?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back with D. Wood playing a little game of fact or fiction. Okay, so Woody, Aaron Rodgers will go to the NFC Championship game without Davante Adams. Fact or fiction?
Aaron, and I'm going to go with fiction here. I just think the amount of production that Davante Adams brought to the table for the Green Bay Packers is going to be very, very hard to replace for the Green Bay Packers. We know that this team likes to run the football. They have a pretty good defense, but that is an awful lot of targets that has to be replaced by the Green Bay Packers. So I'm going to say fiction.
All right. So you're saying Alan Lazard is not a Hall of Famer, I guess. All right. So the Patriots will miss the playoffs. Fact or fiction?
Hannah, I want to go with fact here. Listen, I hate going against the great Bill Belichick, but questions about the defense. We saw what happened in the last playoff game against the Buffalo Bills. And then the fact of the offensive coordinator situation with the young quarterback in Mac Jones, a lot of questions about the Patriots moving forward this year.
Yeah, we still don't know who is going to send those calls into Mac. And Tua will lead the Dolphins to the playoffs, fact or fiction?
And I'm going to go with fact here. I think that this Miami Dolphin team has assembled basically a track team on offense to surround Tua. Tua's always been an accurate quarterback, and I think Tua's been hearing all the noise, you know, this year. And I think Tua's ready to step up and guide this team to the postseason.
Hey, Woody, you're the master of the segue. You led me right into this because yesterday, Tua's new teammate and his, of course, biggest fan, Tyreek Hill, had more praise for another Dolphins teammate. This time, it was wide receiver Jaylen Waddle. So take a listen.
Oh, they're scared of I'm going to tell you what, J-Dub, like, he's faster than I thought. Like, when I first got here, I was like, okay, he's a 4-3. Because typically, like, when you see 4-3 guys, you know, they don't run as fast on the football field. But J-Dub, like, he actually runs a 4-3 on the football field. There's a difference, right? So, like I said, man, I'm very excited for the season. You know, I can't wait to see him blossom and continue to move his game forward, which I know he will.
All right, so he says opposing defenses should be very scared of the two of them. And, of course, earlier we heard him gushing about Tua's arm strength and calling him the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. Jeff, you've covered this team since 2005. You're right there in Florida. What do you think of all his talk coming in?
I kind of like it. I know that there's probably people outside of South Florida who are like, all right, you guys settle down there. But there has been this dark cloud that has just hovered over that organization, a negativity, some cynicism that just always has existed since I've been covering the team since like 2005, that when you have this confidence and bravado out of a star player like this, and it's both kind of emboldening everybody around him, I think it's something that's welcomed in South Florida. So I get it. It feels like hyperbole. It feels a little over the top. But I think down there, it's kind of welcomed.
So you like a little of that KC swag coming down to South Florida.
You don't get a lot of that. I mean, you get it in South Florida. You just don't necessarily get it at the Dolphins organization.
Right. There you go. Hey, Mike T, how does this play into new head coach Mike McDaniels and the culture that he's trying to establish there? Oh, there is no Mike T here. I apologize. I'm sure Mike T
has great thoughts
about that. But Woody, they're trying to establish a new culture. And really, with Tua, how much is he the beneficiary of that? Not only with a coach who supports him, but really with Tyreek Hill coming in and saying these kinds of things about him.
Yeah, you know what, Hannah? Like my wife always talks about breathing life into people. You know, she's a half glass full type person. And so that's why I look at, you know, Tyreek Hill is doing. It's been this negative cloud surrounding Tua, you know, it seems like since he's gotten to South Florida, and in comes Tyreek Hill from Kansas City, he's just breathing life into his quarterback. So I like it. I like what, you know, Mike McDaniels and that system is going to be able to bring to the table. As far as Tua is concerned, it's a run-based system. Take some pressure off. I think the biggest question with the Miami Dolphins, this offensive line. If this offensive line can come together and perform better than what they were last year, which they were atrocious last year, then I think this offense can be very scary down in Florida, down in South Florida, because the one thing that they have a lot of is speed. Speed scares a lot of people, and they have it aplenty down there.
Yeah, I love what Damien just said about breathing life into people. What Tua went through last year with Brian Flores, and I understand Brian Flores' departure was controversial for many other reasons, but when it's specific to Tua, he was a pretty negative force toward Tua.
We think of Tua getting benched, always having to look over his shoulder.
Even behind the scenes, I mean, look, I don't know how much people realize this, but based on all of my conversations, he was very hard on Tua. And Tua is the type of person that it's been explained to me that feeds better off of the positive energy that he wasn't necessarily getting from Flores. Mike McDaniel is doing a different job in terms of trying to empower him. We hear it from Tyreek Hill. We'll see if it ultimately empowers him this season.
We'll see if all of these weapons and changes put more pressure on Tua or if they enable him to flourish.
Yep.
Right. Okay, thanks, guys. Meanwhile, we're going to take a quick departure to baseball. Despite another Angels loss, the reigning AL MVP continuing his streak. Double-digit strikeouts in the top of the first with the bases loaded. Shohei Ohtani striking out Nathaniel Lowe, striking out Adolis Garcia with a slider, and Leody Taveras on three pitches, getting out of an early bases-loaded jam in the top of the fourth. Lowe lifting Ohtani's 1-1 pitch to right center for the solo shot. Rangers get on the board at 1-0. And now we go to the top of the sixth, and the Angels are trailing 2-0. Lowe's in scoring position after a leadoff triple when Ohtani strikes out Garcia. And then he strikes out Taveras with a nasty splitter. Goes six, allows two earned runs, 11 strikeouts, and then Ohtani at the plate. Boy, do they need runs, and this one's still trailing 2-0. List this one to deep right field, but Cole Calhoun is there to make the catch for the third out of the inning. Ohtani goes 0-for-4 at the plate, and the Rangers win this one 2-0, all of which brings us to Buster Olney. He is all over the impending trade deadline and everything that's going on. Ohtani, again, here we see it, Buster. He's brilliant. The Angels lose. What are you hearing about his future as this trade deadline approaches?
And it's true. The Angels have told other teams they will listen to offers for Shohei Ohtani. And after that game last night, Ohtani gave a very lawyerly answer through his interpreter about his standing, saying, yes, I am with the Angels. In other words, right now. But I have spoken with rival executives who believe that this is more of a case of the Angels gathering information for the wintertime when they might actually have to trade Ohtani. Look, he's a free agent after the 2023 season. We don't know if he's going to want to stay with the team. And yes, he would bring a boatload of value return. Would make a lot of sense right now for the Cardinals, but I don't think he's going to be traded before the August 2nd deadline.
Man, that would be a tough week for the Angels. Right now we have Mike Trout dealing with this injury that he is going to have to manage. And if they send away Ohtani, wow. All right, let's talk about New York. Let's go to the other coast. Yankees win. They maintain a two-game lead over the Astros in the American League. How different do you see this team looking after the trade deadline?
Yeah, Hannah, they've got more deals in the works. Number one, they're looking for a starting pitcher, and their focus has been on Luis Castillo of the Cincinnati Reds, an all-star who threw a great game against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium recently. It looks like that they're competing against the Dodgers, the Mariners, maybe the Toronto Blue Jays for Castillo. I also think the Yankees are going to be adding a relief pitcher. So the Andrew Benintendi was just, that was just a salad before the main meal. Castillo would be someone, if they were able to land him, would help them this year potentially be a number one, number two starter in the postseason, and then he's under team control through 2023 as well.
And meanwhile, we are all on Juan Soto watch, and you are as plugged in as anybody. So who is the favorite to land this 23-year-old superstar?
Rival executives, who I spoke with yesterday, believe that the front runner, the San Diego Padres. Look, Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Nationals, is someone who is known to get focused on one group of players, one group of prospects. And what I'm hearing from teams is that seems to be where the Nationals are. We know that they've had contact with the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Cardinals, who might be best equipped to make a trade, but the Padres may be the most motivated. Can you imagine a top of the lineup of Tatis Jr. and Soto and Manny Machado? And look, if you trade for Juan Soto now, it's like getting Mike Trout in 2014. He's that type of inner circle Hall of Fame trajectory.
Right. I mean, right now they're in that second wild card spot in the National League. I cannot even imagine how dynamic that lineup would be, but I bet Padres fans can. Buster Olney, thanks so much for the update. We will stay tuned on all of the baseball trade news. And coming up here on next WNBA game on ESPN and the app is Breanna Stewart leading the storm against Elena Deladon and the Mystics. That tip off is at noon Eastern tomorrow, and on Get Up, the center of attention in Tampa. How damaging is Ryan Jensen's injury to Tom Brady's quest for an eighth ring? We'll have a live report as Get Up continues.